Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Nobody appreciates more different kinds of music than you. That's obvious. But did you feel at the time, in the 50s, early 60s, a resentment of some of the white performers who were copying R&B stuff and selling more records than you and your contemporaries were?
I just didn't object to it. I just felt that the music just, it wasn't that good to care about. Now, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But I mean, honestly.
Maybe some exceptions, though. I mean, Elvis was a talented guy.
Well, okay.
Not necessarily. You'd know better than I.
Yeah.
Let me ask it differently. How good was Elvis?
What Elvis did, he caused a lot of the populace, if you want to, and usually when people say populace, they usually mean white people, to start listening to a lot of music that normally they wouldn't have been listening to. I guess I'm going to lose at least about a third of my fans right now, but to say that Elvis was so great and so outstanding,
What's the most frustrating question you get asked every day? For me, it's what's for dinner. Luckily, ButcherBox is here to help. They make it easy with an array of meat and seafood to choose from. 100% grass-fed beef, wild-caught lobster tails, and don't forget the bacon. There's no better feeling than knowing you've got a variety of ButcherBox meat and seafood to help you make your dinner decisions. Luckily, for a limited time, ButcherBox is giving new members 2 pounds of free ground beef in every order for the life of your membership. Are you kidding me? That's free beef, burgers, tacos, meatballs, for free. All you gotta do is sign up. Choose from 4 curated box options or customize your own and decide how often you want it. ButcherBox ships your order frozen at peak freshness and packed in a 100% recyclable box. And shipping, like that ground beef, is always free. I love the ribeye, marbled, bone-in, whether I'm grilling or just searing it in butter before I pop it in the oven. And have I mentioned burgers? This is your chance to never have to shop for ground beef again. That's right. ButcherBox is giving new members free ground beef for life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ding and get 2 pounds of ground beef free in every order for the life of your membership. That's butcherbox.com/ding, D-I-N-G, to claim this deal.
I made a bargain with it, you know, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with you know, with the chief commander.
On this earth?
And in this earth and then in a world we can't see.
It's not clear to me that I think there will exist a general purpose device that does everything you want, because I don't think the whole world's going to be able to afford five devices per person in the bubble of Terranea.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Oh. Don't step on the one. You gotta start on the two. Find the two, you understand?
I told you I never did any of these dances before.
Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now when music starts, Welcome. Don't dance till the two. Got it? Nice.
Welcome.
Breathe. Frank?
Wilson! Wilson!
Wilson, where are you?
Swimming.
Wilson!
Here comes the music right now.
Wilson!
3, 2, and 1. Go!
Wilson, where are you?
Up on the moment long ago.
Gentlemen,
it's a feeling. A heart.
I have
one breath away, and there you will be. So young and carefree. Again, you will see that place in time. So gold. Still away into
yo,
that
yo,
way.
Yo,
way
yo,
back
what up?
When
yo, what up?
Yo,
what up? What up?
Yo,
you thought that all would last forever.
For 30 years.
But like the weather.
Throw me a frickin' bone here.
Nothing can ever.
Need the info.
And
tell me how both of those got connected. How can you believe that your government is so powerful that they're able to wreck the entire world?
But
you can also fight them with your AK-47. Please explain that.
When we can see so vividly. A memory, and yes, you say so must the day to fade away and leave a ray of sun. So gold.
Hello,
hello,
love. Hello,
hello.
Hello!
Wilson!
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 Wilson, where are you?
Wilson, where are you?
Yet filled with sorrow.
Such a great movie.
Compassion.
People don't give that one enough credit.
It's a hard watch, Jade. It's not an easy watch.
Will
the man alone on an island
I don't know.
For 90 minutes.
I kind of find it funny.
I mean, that's... I definitely don't think... You're thinking it's funny the first time you see it.
I don't take it too seriously.
Well,
it's Tom Hanks. He makes you laugh no matter what.
What, you know what I mean? Do you take too seriously, though, Jade? I feel like that's a you thing more than a Tom Hanks.
My son's
thing.
Soccer.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
My wife's like, chill out, Jade. And not again. Not again this weekend. Not again.
What'd
finally
you do?
I had to chill out. Nothing. It's just like I've been having issues with my son's playing time, which I dealt with and solved. By the way,
took
just
him
like
out
frankly,
back, took the coach out to
well,
the woodshed.
I mean, I don't know if I fully told this story, but you know, I was in the running for head coach of the team early on, but the guy who got it was the president of the league. So the guy,
oh, yeah, I remember that.
They had a middleman interview me, and he's like, this is like one of the best resumes we've ever seen. Because I sent videos of the kids that I've recorded and edited. I had testimonials from parents from prior seasons. And then but the guy's like, but unfortunately, you're going up against the president. I was like, well, why are you calling me? You know what I mean? I went through the whole process thing, didn't get it. And then kind of was in the running. I was in the running for assistant, but I got annoyed that I just wasn't immediately granted the assistant role.
Yeah.
Since I was second for the head and kind of became like the guy, you know, he's a nice guy, I guess, but he isn't, he's not cool with me for some reason. And so I just was like, forget about him, out. I'm just interested really in Grayson anyway. But like, you know, the team's got basically 24 kids. They split into two teams every weekend. And I was just like, the first weekend, Grayson did not start either of the games. And Grayson was ranked fifth in the entire tryout. And I'm like, and the whole thing is kind of predicated with this, everyone's getting equal time. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's the way that they do most of these youth sports. Participation trophies. They don't care about winning necessarily. They just want everybody to have fun. That type of
thing. And that's fine. That's fine. But I was like, the first two games of his like career, he came off the bench. He's one of the best players. And I'm like, this. And then as the games progressed, I'm like, Grayson's not playing as much time. And so the next weekend, it kind of happened again. So I started tracking the time. And sure enough, I noticed that Grayson was only playing roughly 32% of the game. And I brought it to the attention of the coach, and I broke it down. I said, listen, what you're putting the starters out in the first half, and then you're restarting them in the second half, it's going to end up being lopsided. So I kept, you know, and it wasn't the first time, I did it again, you know. And then finally last weekend, they started doing the switch. You know what I mean? Because I'm fine for equal time, but when my son's getting 32% of the time, you're not doing what you said you did, buddy.
And you said two teams. So like how many kids are on the team total?
There's 12 a team, but the six starters, like six field players and then the goalie.
We're only at the level of soccer where there's six people playing at a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't consider it, like, if you get stuck in goal, it could be great. Playing. It could suck. But it's not part of, I want Grayson on the field. I don't
As
want
a former him goalie, I can tell you with genuine veracity that being goalie is not playing soccer. And little game by yourself every once in a while.
I got this explanation, like, that was so three card Monty. You know what I mean? By this, like, it was so
eyes up here, Jade. Eyes up here.
Oh, we put this player here and that the player plays goalie. And I'm like, bro, let's just calm down here. I got the numbers. I tracked it. And so now I don't involve Grayson at all in this, by the way. This is only between me and the coach. Cause I don't want my son to know anything. He's a great team player. He's very good. He's like one of the only kids that can actually get the ball, put his head up, dribble, and make a pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't understand this whole notion of not playing your better players. You don't have to play them more, but man, you got to get your better players out there to set a good example. Like, that's the bottom line. And like, and I can't help but think, because it's in my nature, that this guy's trying to spite me. You know what I mean? By taking it out of my kid. And this is my worst fear. But so what I do now is I just sit on the sideline. I got a notebook and a pen and a clock. And I make it well known that I'm tracking this shit.
Auditing sure enough, youth soccer.
It all changed last weekend. I was like, all right, now it's no reason to complain. Grayson was also under the weather last weekend, so he didn't play particularly well. He got banged hard with a ball that took him out of the game. So I was like, nothing to complain about last weekend. But I mean, ultimately, if you don't stick up for your kid, nobody else will. You know, that's the bottom line. And these guys, the coach, the two assistants, their fathers, they get to, you know what I mean? It's almost like they should take being a father coach out of the game. You shouldn't be allowed to coach that's my bottom. At this age, at least when you travel, maybe for rec league, but at this point, there's too much conflict of interest. You know what I mean, Zach?
Zach's not here. It's just me, Maze, talking to you.
Oh, I thought he joined the call.
But soccer dads were a thing. I remember growing up, I had this these friends who came to my school in third grade, and they were from Texas, but they were Argentinian. And when they joined our soccer team, their dad would come and he would yell the entire fucking time. He would yell at everyone. He'd yell at his kids. He'd yell at the coach. He'd yell at the other team. He'd yell at the refs. And, he was just that fiery Argentinian passion, the love of the game. And then I'm pretty sure somebody was like, hey, man, you know what? Maybe don't show up to the games and distract everybody with your excessive yelling. So. No, I'm just saying, sports dads, there's many different kinds. Soccer dads, especially. There's something about soccer where it's like, I think it's because a lot of it is like what you said, where, Grayson's one of the few people who can dribble with his head up and make a pass. Most of the kids can't. So it's pretty frustrating to watch because it's a lot of chaos.
It is, but most parents really don't notice anything. But their kids on, they get excited, and it's like they don't really track the time. Most parents don't even know what the time length on a half is, so they play 25-minute halves and end up being 50 minutes. So every weekend there's 100 minutes of playing time, and like I said, one weekend, two weekends, maybe in a row, Grayson got around 32 of the 100 minutes. And I'm just like, this isn't even what you're saying it is. And like most, and I would, I informed a couple of the parents. It's just like, make sure, because I wasn't alone with this feeling. Other parents had issues with like their players, their kids getting stuck on defense and whatnot. And I just said, make sure, I don't even mind that. I want Grayson to play all positions. But if you're going to say it's equal time and it's not, then we got a problem here. So, and sure enough, I mentioned it more than once, and then things got changed. We'll see if it lasts. They're not playing this weekend because of the holiday, but just make sure, as a parent, if you don't look after your kid, nobody else will. That's it. With this new age kind of stuff where they kind of say, oh, yeah, it's all about getting everyone time. Watch out for that three-card Monty shit. That's what I call it. Because that's what it is. It's just like this guy's giving me this long-winded explanation. And I'm like, bro, I got the numbers here, And don't try to add the goalie shit here. We're not doing this, So they did an inter scrimmage because they have enough for two teams. One weekend, Grayson had just played goal in a game and then he got stuck back in goal, and that pissed me off. I was like, why did he just play goalie again? And this is after I made a complaint, essentially. I'm very nice too. I don't call up and I'm not a jerk. I'm very diplomatic. Keep it straight, keep it with the info. But it's almost like there's this resentment that stems from last winter when we were training Grayson along with five of the other kids on the team with my coach that I've hired. And there is a resentment about it. It's like we're breaking off. We're doing our own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You must follow the town team rules. You can't organize yourselves. And I'm just like, why not? It's wintertime.
Okay, we'll have the greens on this side. Yes. Please.
All right, so today we're going to try to focus on some foot skills. When we first start the practice, we just kind of want them to kind of get in the rhythm of playing, and there's no other better way of doing that than just them playing soccer, because it's been so long since we've gotten out, and it's a nice day. Really hoping we can use some of this weather, some of the time, to just let these kids play today. So we're going to focus on really foot skills, passing, but really it's just going to be about today letting them play.
Jackson, let's play.
Was your dad like this at all when you were playing hockey? Do you remember?
Yeah, there was a point in time for sure, but my dad did it in a way that involved me. He was more like that Argentinian dad.
Gotcha.
Yelling from the bleachers, yeah. Get him out there! Get Jane out there. And I would just be like, good God, Dad, you know.
You were embarrassed.
Oh, awful. And like, as my hockey career progressed into like high school, Loomis, it became so political. Parents and the politics of getting your kids playing time was insane. And especially at Loomis, it was very difficult because, I mean, some of these families had tremendous wealth. And so I'll give you an example. Like when I was in sophomore year, we traveled to Europe. We went to Europe twice in my 4 years, one time to Italy, one time to Germany. And the time that I went to Italy, I remember I may have been both times, but we brought some of the family members came, the ones that could really afford it. Like one set of parents, I think, paid for the entire team to ski in St. Moritz. Like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. Thousands of dollars for, say, like Alps skiing. And like, it was just one of those things, like all of a sudden their kids playing more, you know? It's like, so it's like the politics of parents, that turned me off big time. I was like, this sucks. It took away the fun of the game, you know? System-oriented playing too at that point sucked. I hated that. You must do this. You can't freely go out and skate like you would normally. You can't play your game. You have to play their game. And I didn't like it. It was more like you have to dig out in the corner, get the puck up to the slot, stuff like that. And I was just like, dude, I'm a little guy, you know? But
my parents knew absolutely nothing about sports. So my dad would show up to my basketball games and read the paper. And then when I would get on the court, he would try to like get a nickname going for me. You just be like, go Maze!
Go Maze!
Go Maze! You'd just be like, go Maze! Go Maze! That's it. That's what I would get.
It's so funny you mentioned that. It's funny because after like my junior and senior year at Loomis, which were my two favorite years of hockey, because at that point I just said, fuck it. All the pressure of the whole thing, I just said, I'm not going pro. I'm going to play out my final years here. And two of my best years ever. My dad actually would come to the games with that cowbell. He started that instead of being complaining guy, he was over excessive cheering guy.
With a cowbell?
Yeah, he was the
cowbell
guy.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. It was equally as horrific for me. I was just like, good God, Dad, just go away, you know? Just be quiet at least. Like, just, I don't know. Because it was a whole thing. Like, Dad had to assume a role, and the coach really loved it. He loved the fact that Dad was a cowbell guy because it was like adding spirit to the game. So it's to make your presence known as a parent somehow to the team benefited your son, you know? Mm. If it was through hosting a dinner for the team or buying him ski trips. My dad, we had no money. Cowbell guy.
Cowbell guy.
What I mean. Right. And I never grooved with the coach. That was the thing. I was too, I don't know what it was about me. I think that I was just too headstrong. Like it wasn't really even being intentionally headstrong either. I just did what I did. I've always done that. Had the same problems at ESPN, most places, you know, that I ended up working at. It's always the same issue, that I just really like to do what I do, what I want to do, you know? I don't like to follow the rules.
I mean, I don't think that's necessarily just a you thing, but totally. I mean, my mom for sure always clashed with her boss. Like that, she was a great worker. She was really nice. She was always like really, you know, friendly and like dependable and stuff, but she was opinionated. She had opinions and she had ways of doing things. And that's definitely translated to me. Like I definitely empathize with that. And I just feel like if you're any sort of like,
you have that quality too. Yeah. It's a good quality. I mean, it's
I mean, it means that like you're engaged, right? It's like a lot better than just being checked out or what? Yeah, you care probably too much, right? So that's
yeah, I mean, ESPN, thing. It was, I mean, geez. I mean, God, look at this. Look at ESPN's product. Their content, at least from where I was, digital, it's terrible. It's so bad. And like, I mean, every time I look at something that they put out, I'm just like, it's cringeworthy now. And like, I was surrounded by people that just really put up, I always call it, they put up their tent and just called it a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Great work life, great money. But like, nobody cared there. It was all about status quo, just coming in, doing what's required.
Don't rattle the cage, Jade. Way. You know?
And like, I mean, it's, I can't exist like that. I was just like, how do you do this? I don't, and it's like, I made good money there. I was getting the free tickets to Disney, but it just is so unsatisfying. The same thing happened at Showtime, man, when I was there. That if I had stayed at that job, I'd be making so much money. You know, I had friends that still are there that are VPs and stuff like that, but I was just like, this is terrible. This feels like a library, working at a library, you know? Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with working at a library. I actually worked at a library when I was at Wesleyan.
It's actually probably not like working in a library. I would say library.
It's not at all.
Pretty dope.
But it's like, I mean that in the sense that it was just boring,
like,
I guess.
It's like being in a library is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's oh, like, for sure. At Showtime, yeah, I got the, I mean, I would come in at 9:15 and I would get the, where were you, Jade? And I was supposed to be in at 9. I'm like, are you kidding me?
The Lumberg and Office Space coming up to you.
Totally.
Oh, wow. Jade.
Like 15 minutes? Are you kidding me?
You're going to need those TBS reports. Right here.
It's exactly what it was.
And
not shipping out till tomorrow. So
got to
no
work
problem.
Saturday this week.
If make you could just go ahead and make sure you time. Do that from now on.
Great.
And, I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
I have the memo. I've got it. It's right.
Hello, Phil.
A midget is still a dwarf, but their arms and legs are in proportion. So, what's an elf? An elf is a supernatural being. Sometimes they're invisible. They're like fairies. They don't actually exist, do they? In real life.
So, is a pixie the same thing as an elf?
Hold on, Gareth.
What? I just want to know how come he knows so much about midgets.
Great. That happened at the end. That was the end of my ESPN career when, effectively, they took everything I had done over the course of 10 years, built everything up. I was doing live shows at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had lying around the block over there in Oakland. I was showing my new bosses. I'd be like, look, this is all the stuff I'm doing. And they're like, I think we're going to have you do college football. You're going to have to come in on the weekends. And this is true. This is 100% true. As a matter of fact, it's the assistant. I don't know if you noticed, but Katie Nolan quit her ESPN gig.
Mm-hmm.
And in that tweet, the second person she mentioned was Ashley Braban. That she was the, her and this fellow Glenn Jacobs basically effectively stripped me of everything I had done. And they were reducing my role to PA level. Like, it was like 10 years I worked there and all of a sudden I'm getting a demotion to PA. And I was just like, you're just asking me to leave, aren't you? You know, I didn't realize that at the time. I realized that just recently. But I mean, when Zach's here, when we did one of our first live shows in New York, Zach read the email that I got.
Oh, man. I read that thing so dramatically, too. It's
great. And I was just like, and I never understood it because Ashley was so in it. Like, she was just a cool, like Katie Nolan, right? Like, why don't you see this is cool that I'm doing this? You're asking me to do this nonsense. By the way, it didn't even last. I checked out, but after I had friends that were in a similar circumstance and they went through it, but then things changed back to kind of normal 7 months, 8 months later. So it was just a drag, but I'm glad I got out. Fuck that place.
Fuck.
Fuck it. Fuck it. I mean, look what's happened since. I mean, it's just been a train wreck. You know?
At the WWL? Worldwide leader? Yeah, the place sucks.
Pablo, Bomani. It's like, oh, it's like just goes on, not Levitard, right? All the things that were great are gone, yeah. You know?
Mike Greenberg is hosting the NBA Finals.
I saw
like,
that.
What are we doing?
What the hell?
I get it from a standpoint. If it's just like, look, man, we're paying these people so much money. We need to stretch them across multiple platforms in order to justify what I get that, right?
$7 million a year. Yeah.
Certain reporters who can't fucking talk who are on TV, right? Trying to talk, trying to provide analysis. They should just be reporting things. Like, you have that, right? And the only reason is because the salary is so big, and that's fine. Like, good for them on earning that salary. That's fine. But, like, to take away the stuff that makes you good, and the numbers don't really show that this is making things better. People show up for live games. That's pretty much it at this point.
Yo, dude, you know what I did last night? Funnily enough, I went on to ESPN Plus or whatever it's called there, and I was scouring they have amazing warehouse of just like you can watch every college soccer game because I was curious. I just wanted to watch college soccer, just to see the level. There was this game last night between the U.S. and Jamaica qualifying for World Cup, I think, that I was checking out. But then I just started going on to the college archives. Man, their plus catalog is intense. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot there. But again, like everything that's worth a damn now is live sports.
That's live. That's what I'm saying. It's like that is that's their bread and butter. Always is. It's the stuff. The content stuff used to have priority and they cared about it. But now it's just filler.
Right.
It's just pure filler. So, yeah, it's Greenberg. Did they mention who he's doing it with?
Well, the countdown crew is like Stephen A. Smith, Will Bond, and Magic Johnson. Like, they brought Magic back.
All right, right. Well, Will Bond and Magic were back with, who was that?
Was it Simmons?
Yeah.
Simmons and Sage. Right. That's the awkward Simmons thing.
He was terrible. Magic was terrible. They didn't like each other.
Do I get to speak now? It's been like 10 minutes. I thought this was a must-play well game for the Spurs. I mean, I'm sorry, for the Heat, because...
Sage is Sage. Like, it's... I mean, they at least had to show
something. Sage is out of line. Yeah. But, Do I get to speak now? Have you watched The Jump lately?
No.
Oh my God! What did they do with that?
Well, what? It's something else now, right? Malik. It's now Malika's show, and they named it like NBA,
NBA Today or something like that. Or no, I think that's going to happen starting this weekend.
Oh,
the Jump, or starting next week. I think the
NBA
Jump
Today.
NBA filling. So they've just been kind of running.
Yeah, it's like highly questionable. Highly questionable. Now undebatable or debatable or whatever.
Yeah. I seen that, you know, Cassidy, who I used to work with, has been hosting it, but it's really just not good. So, not good. I'll tell you what's good is our show, the Athletic NBA Show. Check that out, people.
Mm. Ooh, that point of contention, I tell you.
Yeah, I agree, Maze.
That was a hell of an episode.
Really good. I'm a really good podcast.
You like that? I like that you like it. I like hearing. I don't hear enough because sometimes you're like, you do this stuff. You probably get this, Zach. I mean, Maze, you might get it too, but where you do, you put in your hard work and then you don't hear anyone go, it's a good job. You know what I mean? You're like, kind of makes you paranoid sometimes.
But I just
said forget it. I always think I know that it's good, but it's nice to hear sometimes. Someone will tweet me or DM me. And I always like it. I used to get it a lot more, though.
The only thing this might sound terrible. I think the only thing that I care about that with now is Cinephobe. I think that's the only thing that, because I'm like, the basketball content is the basketball content. Like, I've been doing that for fucking forever. Like, I've
been podcasting. You do it literally every day.
Yeah, and I've been podcasting since 2008, right? So, like, that part of it, but, like, about basketball since 2008. But Cinephobe, because it's still relatively new and it's still like the audience is really growing, and new people are discovering all the time. I'm like when I get stuff about that, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, like
that's you guys what get I want to hear.
Yeah,
I mean,
we get a lot. Like, it's fun.
It's great.
I don't enjoy the feedback on NBA, but like the Cinephobe, like that's what I focus on right now with that stuff.
It's the new baby.
The other day, Michael C. Wright tweeted above our Steph Curry pod. Marcus and DA do their thing as usual, but the production on this pod is fire. Fire.
Fire! There you go. Light it up. Come on. The turn of the dead and true. Ouch. Ouch. The turn and water is the fire.
And so Aldridge CC'd me. And then Michael says, oh, my bad. Normal for Jade. See, you know, that's what I'm talking, you know? I like this expectation, you know?
Oh, it's just Jade. It's just Jade producing. Never mind. Compliment rescinded.
You didn't even add LOL. I had to add the LOL. It's like, thanks again, Mike. Thanks. I love Mike. I love Michael C. Wright. He's my guy.
But yeah, between the Steph Curry episode, that was hilarious. I mean, obviously that's, you know, Marcus's relationship with Steph is just incredible.
That was amazing. Like if people haven't listened to that, because Steph has this, and I've just heard this 1,000 times, he's boring, you know, but yeah,
not with Marcus. Yeah.
And DA.
I mean, yeah, DA, of course,
amazing effect on
is a legend. So like he has basically built-in chemistry with everybody, and it's because everybody grew up watching DA on TV in the league.
Every
now.
Episode we get a big name, they always stop down to say how great DA is. It's like a thing. And but yeah, I mean, I had worked with Henry Abbott with Steph on this, like when he was hawking some deodorant stuff. And I got to interview him live, but it's all like, it's player speak stuff, you know? That was a great, great pod. I loved it. Loved it. I worked hard on that one.
Who we are and our identity is. And, you know, it hasn't been proven that, you know, we're an easy out in any playoff series. So that's what we're banking on.
Steph, I had a player tell me once that low-key you were the most gangster player in the league, right? Like how there's a, I know you're a nice guy and you play golf and all that stuff and you have children. You know, it's a very friendly,
bad at it.
It's very friendly and fun.
Damn, Marcus.
I just be wondering sometimes what's in your head. Like there's this complete kind of other side of you that even on the court you're like you're smiling a lot, you're playing, but like, you know, you are quote unquote the babyface assassin. What are you telling yourself in your head when it's time to get going? Like this summer, for instance, when, you know, reportedly you guys were out here trying to get some help and it ends up being not that much, and it's like, okay, basically it's on you again, right? You gotta at least carry until Clay gets there. In your head, what does Steph tell himself to get ready, to put in the work, and to like be able to carry this load?
There's two parts to that. One is, you know, I've always had it's that kind of quiet killer instinct, and it's something that, you know, Kobe did an interview one time. It was one of my favorite kind of comments about me in terms of how he saw like that killer instinct behind the smile. And just, I can have fun and have joy. He was like, I'm out there to rip your heart out. And it's just a different way that it looks.
Kobe, what do you think of when you watch Steph Curry?
I see a calmness about him. I see a calmness about him. And I think it's something that a lot of players don't understand. I think the fans, it's very hard for the fans to really understand what I'm saying, because most players don't get it.
So there's a confidence, no matter what situation you are, that I have the ability and the skill set to, you know, win any game, any night. You know, that's something that is only built on the shoulders of the work that you put in, not to be cliche, but like that's really, you know, how I gain that confidence and maintain that from year after year. And the second part is there's always like this quiet insecurity at the same time of when you come into a training camp that you got to prove it all over again. And there's something to that. You know, I get nervous right before training camp starts. You know, there's this, again, I call it an insecurity throughout your summer workouts where like I really have to be intentional about what I'm doing, what I'm working on, what my mentals are like going into the season, because, you know, there's no guarantee that what I've done before is just going to show up. And so I have a fine balance between those two emotions. And it's always like a back and forth game, because I know if I step on the floor, I got this confidence, but it's built on the work. But if I don't have the insecurity about what the work means for what I'm doing on the court, then it doesn't work. So that's really my way of thinking and way of summarizing, you know, all the different emotions. You can't control what people say about, you know, you or your team or whatever the case is. And, you know, we all know year to year, you're in different situations. And you have to be able to adapt. But for me personally, those are the two kind of emotions that I have to balance, you know, every single year to try to stay on this level.
So is the voice in your head, like, what is it like? Is it like, are you in front of a man in front of you? And are you like, man, you garbage. You can't guard me. Like, is he like going off? What does he sound like? You know,
there's something to that. I might have to put the voice memo.
Like, if you were to narrate this, who would you get to narrate the voice of the killer inside?
Kevin Hart would be like the insecure side of like, he's
really trying to get big, man. I'm serious about the gym. You know something else I thought the gym was going to do for me, though? I thought the gym was going to help me mentally. I had a lot of mental stuff I was trying to get over. Phobias and stuff. And I said, you know, you get a little bigger, feel better about yourself, you don't worry about the stuff you're afraid of. Got any phobias? Not that you think of? You ain't scared of nothing, huh? You ever wake up and an alligator in your room or some shit?
Beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. Understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
Picture this, all right? You're shopping online, right? You're clicking, you're adding things to the cart, you're feeling good, and then you decide to go to checkout. And at checkout, you see the total. And you're like, what? How did this get so high? I just added an item here, an item there. Here's a hoodie, there's a hoodie. All of a sudden, it's like $300. You don't spend $300. And then you see that promo code field.
just staring right back at you, looking at you, saying, hey, bet you wish you had one of me. And maybe you start like searching on the internet. You Google like, promo code for whatever, right? And you don't find anything current because, of course, that's not how it works. You know what does work? Honey. With Honey, searching for coupon codes on your own, it's a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, tech, gaming products, fashion, food delivery, everything. Honey has it all. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you hit that checkout, the Honey button drops down and says, hey, found some coupons for you. Let's see if anything works here. And all you do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds. Honey searches and it gets one for you. And you watch that price drop. All of a sudden that $300 might be $240, might be $200. Who knows? Who knows how much it could save you? Depends on the site. Depends on the day. Depends on the promo code. Me personally ordered a bunch of clothes. It was like $230 or something like that. Had Honey say, hey, got something for you, Zach. Clicked it. Got 20% off. Saved a bunch of money. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It's free. It installs in seconds on your browser. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something I don't use. You guys know I use everything that we promote. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/ding. That's joinhoney.com/ding. Get a little something off the top.
All right. So we got a lot to talk about today. We got a lot of things to hit. First of all, I just want to quickly plug
Squid
Queued Up, which is going to be the upcoming TV podcast. We're going to talk about Succession Season 3, but we have a lot of television and movies to talk about now. So this is kind of a little sampler platter. And we're going to start with Squid Game because, like I said last week, literally Squid. As soon as I was done for the day, I binged Squid and I finished it Saturday morning. Zach was not too far behind. Jade was a little bit after that. Where do you guys even want to start? Should we start with Marbles? Is that where we should kick this thing off?
What a great episode.
I mean, no, you got to start with two.
Just right to number two. Just when they get plunged back into the real world.
I think last week we kind of, it was all just, I don't know where everyone was, but I think one was kind of where we were collectively.
Well, yeah, we didn't want to spoil too much because we were introducing the show and like talking about it for the first time. But yes, we've all finished it. So I think we can kind of just jump all over the place. Marbles is six. Marbles is a ways into it. Because they go back to the real world, then they come back in, then it's the honeycomb, then it's the...
the honeycomb, man, stressed me the fuck out.
Then it's the strobe light melee in the dorm room.
Oh, that's right, the strobe light fight.
Then you've got the tug of war, then you've got marbles.
Tug of war was great.
Every single game was effective to me. Like, they did a great job of turning these childhood games into life or death situations. Like, the honeycomb one, I did not really anticipate at all. Like, I didn't know what the hell was coming.
That's got to be a cultural thing, though, right?
Right.
In terms of, like, because I don't think any of us did that here in America, like, as children, right? That's not a thing.
Carving out the... I've done that on my own randomly with... You know,
like I've chewed like crackers or stuff into shapes before, but like not like carved them out,
not for death,
not in the shape of an umbrella, not the Umbrella Man.
No,
the thing that I was kind of struggling with after the first episode was there's a couple things. Was there was general, and I resolved this. I can talk about it later, but. I couldn't figure out they weren't urgently scared, right? When they come back, there was this kind of like, hey, we're back, you know?
You mean when they come back into the game?
Yeah, and like there was never post-traumatic stress from what happened in the first episode.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
I think there was in the immediate aftermath. I think what was so genius about that second episode was, one, it completely subverted viewer expectations. We were all just expecting them to roll right into game two, you know, and just keep this thing going. But when everybody speaks up and they voice their real concerns about how scared and how ridiculous what they got themselves into, then they do the vote. But before they do the vote, they drop the money, which I loved, right? And I was almost expecting, like, when they drop the money, everybody to basically shut up. Because it's like, look, the money is there in front of you. But then, of course, it comes down to the last vote, and it's the old man, and he votes to reset the game. But I felt like it was still part of the game, and it was, because so many people came back because their lives in reality suck so much. And that reminds me of The Matrix with Cyther.
Lost.
It reminds me of Lost when they leave the island and they say we have to go back because the real world doesn't feel the same. There's a lot of that.
That's when I was like, oh shit, this is Lost. Yeah.
And they did that in like one episode.
That's what I started to go, well, what, this isn't, I can't think of this realistically. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I let go of, this thing isn't fully real.
It's, yeah, that's when it gets dystopian.
It's a metaphor, you know, because like that was the thing with, I started to think, is this playing out in somebody's head as a matter of, like, is this some type of mental construct? And so this, the laughing and stuff like that, the humor kind of stuff in the face of death was kind of troubling me. And I was like, well, maybe not here, because this could be a completely psychological reaction that somebody's having, not the collective. I'm saying that I'm seeing this all kind of playing out in the mind of somebody, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, in a way, it was.
That's what I wrote to you.
In a way, it even was. Like, it's, this is still somebody's, like, fucked up dream that they're having, is this
Gon, what's his name, the main character, Gon G?
Not good with names in this show, unfortunately. My South Korean name dexterity is not high.
You cowards.
But the main character.
Shut up,
the
Zach.
Father, the gambler.
What's the gangster's name, Zach?
I love
Sorry,
him.
Guys. I have to take a phone call right now.
Sorry, I gotta step away.
He's my favorite character.
But so, the thing about the real world being worse was that it also gave us a little bit more insight into some of these, who these new characters were.
Yeah.
Which was important, because we did just get that one thing with the main guy and his, you know, he's a deadbeat dad, bro, and all that.
The editing on episode two is so good. As just from an editor standpoint, it is so good. And especially you see the things all happen in sequence, kind of like right before they get into the car. And by the way, that sequence of them getting in the car is so dope.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just all those cuts of them getting in the car, the door closing and stuff like that. I never quite understood. They didn't really, like, some of, I don't know how many characters protected themselves from the fog.
Just one.
It's just the one, right?
Just the girl.
It's just the girl.
Yeah, pickpocket.
I don't know why that ended up even mattering.
Because she snuck in a blade, right?
Yeah. It seemed like they were going to take the storyline of her, like, sneaking through the air ducts and, like, trying to figure out what was actually going on, like, a little further. It kind of dropped off after the honeycomb episode, because I don't think that she does that again.
Well, no, because I think, at least the way I took that is, like, she realizes, like, oh, we're fucked. Like, there is
it's
no,
not even
like,
worth
let's
it.
Get,
yeah.
yeah, like, I think she realized, like, there's no gaming this. You just have to survive.
Yeah.
Because when she sees that, I think she knew. She's like, oh, fuck, this is really going to be, like, this is really going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, right? Every character, all the main characters there, is all contrasted. Each and every one of them is distinct. And that episode two, the great moment that was, there's a couple. The situation with his mother is really important.
Yeah.
Right.
The diabetes. Diabetes.
And then the
diabetes.
Scene, the scene with, is he Pakistani or Indian, the fellow there, where he asks the other guy for the money for the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that scene plays out again in Marbles, essentially.
Well, that's what seeds the Marbles part for sure. And that was just, oh man. Yeah. That was by far the most devastating part to me was Ollie and the businessman's relationship there. But also what episode two did was it folded in the cop who then ended up following them to the pickup and taking on the identity of the worker and kind of just providing just like another angle of investigating what's actually happening here, which I thought was really clever and necessary. And then we get the honeycomb game, and I love the licking part, like the licking solution at the end, and then everybody's just looking at him and they're like, oh, I'm gonna start licking. They're all just frantically licking the back of their honeycomb cookie.
That was when part of my, oh, this is not realistic, he's climbing under the car. He manages to get through that relatively easy, right? Take the guy out, stuff like that.
I gave up on that.
I was just like, forget it. He can't see it like this.
I think what I took from that, especially once that theory came about, that like depending on which color you choose, right?
Oh yeah.
If you choose the red, you get that. Like these aren't highly trained people.
Exactly.
Yeah, they aren't highly trained people. They're barely trained.
Yeah. Which is like what makes which
so in that slam game, right, where they're slamming the thing and you're getting slapped. If you choose blue, you're going into the game. If you choose red, you end up
as a worker,
part of the crew.
So they're equal. Like it's a theory, so it's not totally explained, but it's just explaining how they get these workers, because that was a big question I had, right? Because it definitely seems like there's like a hive mind mentality, or that they're brainwashed, or who knows what's going on.
But it makes sense. But it makes sense too, because they're finding people who still are crazy in debt,
desperate,
and it's probably like, "Hey, here's how you pay off your debt. You come do this and follow every instruction. Don't deviate."
But they're all kids.
What's the most frustrating question you get asked every day? For me, it's what's for dinner. Luckily, ButcherBox is here to help. They make it easy with an array of meat and seafood to choose from. 100% grass-fed beef, wild-caught lobster tails, and don't forget the bacon. There's no better feeling than knowing you've got a variety of ButcherBox meat and seafood to help you make your dinner decisions. Luckily, for a limited time, ButcherBox is giving new members 2 pounds of free ground beef in every order for the life of your membership. Are you kidding me? That's free beef, burgers, tacos, meatballs for free. All you gotta do is sign up. Choose from 4 curated box options or customize your own and decide how often you want it. ButcherBox ships your order frozen at peak freshness and packed in a 100% recyclable box. And shipping, like that ground beef, is always free. I love the ribeye, marbled, bone in, whether I'm grilling or just searing it in butter before I pop it in the oven. And have I mentioned burgers? This is your chance to never have to shop for ground beef again. That's right. ButcherBox is giving new members free ground beef for life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ding and get 2 pounds of ground beef free in every order for the life of your membership. That's butcherbox.com/ding, D-I-N-G, to claim this deal.